It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com and simulcasting live on PTN Radio at PeoplesTVNetwork.com. My name is Maureen Halloran, and I am an intuitive advisor with 25 years' experience as a tarologist, as well as the ability to see beyond the range of normal vision. I'm motivated by good intentions and maintaining a remarkable degree of objectivity. I am well-versed in relationships, business, finance, ventures, past lives, and good old-fashioned spiritual development, which I think is the best. So I'd like to introduce my like-minded co-host and invite them to share their background of expertise as well. Hello, Steve.
Good evening, Maureen. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Great, thank you. Well, it's wonderful to be here. I'm really excited about the show. My name's Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium and spiritualist, so I'm a member of the Spiritualist National Union in the UK, but live here in the States, and I specialize in mediumship, so connecting with loved ones in the spirit world and providing insight from the spirit world as well. So we're very excited to be here.
And he's really good, too, as a matter of fact. And hello, Allura.
Hi, how are you, Maureen?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good deal. I'm looking forward to the show tonight.
Yeah.
Well, what I do is I work with the with Native philosophy, and I work with animal medicine and the sacred path cards. And basically what they do is they help me to help you. I use them as a tool, I'll say, to tune in, to open into my clairvoyance, clairaudience, and all the various gifts that I have, to be able to see further into your situation and into you in order to see where there might be imbalances, see where your priorities are, and see how I can help to bring you back into balance, empower you, and be able to make much better decisions in different areas of your life. So in that way, it's more like consulting, counseling, things of that nature, so that when you walk away feeling much more empowered and feeling much better, and being able to make decisions in the various areas of your life that you may have questions. And that's what I do.
And that's a lovely thing, too, as a matter of fact. And hello, Jackie.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Great.
Well, my name is Jackie Hahn, and I'm one of the newer members here on Psychic Access Talk Radio. I work with the angelic realm very closely with the archangels. I'm also a spiritual coach. So what that means is I bring in a lot of different elements into my reading. It's more about, on a holistic level. So it's not just giving information, it's sharing guidance and tapping in intuitively through my claircognizant, which is my strongest clair. It's just a knowing that I have. And then also helping people, you know, work through whatever comes up in their reading, because mostly there is, and helping them to take action steps, you know, bringing different tools for them to use, of course, if they're willing. But, you know, it's not just leaving them hanging. I like to bring in a lot of different elements into the reading and really empower them to be able to, you know, see light at the end of the tunnel, that there really is a possibility. There really is ways to look at the situation and to move through it. And I do this in a very compassionate way. And I'm just very passionate about helping, you know, whomever I have the pleasure of reading for. So that's what I do. And I'm very excited to be here, and I'm looking forward to the show, Maureen.
Well, I think that's lovely. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I think, you know, it's really a good point you made. Any negative can be a positive for people in readings. I'm sure that we'll all agree with that. You know, it's a choice. You know, we can bring negative or steer away from it. So if we, that's a really good way, you know, to empower them. So there you have it. And I think that's, we have a lovely team here, I must say. So tonight, our very special guests are Kim and Eric Reisinger and paranormal duo from Pima TV will be joining us very soon, and you will learn that there's more to this couple than the normal paranormal I thought that was kind of a cute way I'm playing on words. But so anyway, so be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show for a free on-air reading by four gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show. So if you were unable to catch our show on Best Ever Mediums last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives for all our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. And it is our objective, we wanted to let everybody know that we're trying to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with your friends and pals and everybody else that you know. So, oh, wait a minute. Okay. Well, anyway, next we have, oh, you know what? This is it. I was hoping that we have now Kim and Eric with us on the, they're ready, and here they are. Hi, Kim and Eric.
Hi.
Well, hi, Maureen. How are you? Allura.
Hi, you guys.
Hi. Welcome.
It is great to have you with us tonight. Really, really is. And I'll tell everybody why if they don't know. But I'd like to say that Kim and Eric are my fellow hosts at PTN TV, and Eric and Kim is a helper too, is my co-host on my show there too, and they're like my family, so they're very special. So I want to first ask you two, if you could tell us about your show and the guests that you, because you have a really, I really find your show to be interesting because you interview your guests. I think you're awesome in it, the way you go about your interview, and you've a very diverse and high profile guest on as well. Can you talk about these guests? I'd love to hear about them.
High profile guests? It's just the luck of the draw, I guess, because I spend a lot of time emailing different people and making requests.
We've always kind of strived, and we wanted our show to be about getting information out to people to make sure everybody gets a more faceted view of what we do being paranormal, you know, researchers, investigators. I don't like the term ghost hunter. It's just kind of, to me, it's derogatory.
Ghost hunter, there's a difference between ghost hunters and paranormal investigators. Ghost hunters go to Walmart, pick up a voice recorder and a camera, and off they go, and they don't ask permission, they don't check history. Paranormal investigators actually use different types of equipment. All our evidence that we give to a client would be
verifiable.
It would either be video or audio, and we never ever trespass or go anywhere without permission from whoever owns the property.
Right. Well, it's to me, first, because when I've known you guys almost a year now, I think, and there's a lot of stuff that is more about the paranormal than what, because there's other people at the PTN area network, of course, and I met a lot of them for the first time, including you too, and because all the TV stuff that's going on and everything else. But you guys do so besides going out and doing your investigation stuff, you recently went, you did the media coverage on behalf of PTN, which was what an honor. I congratulate you with Scarefest Paranormal Convention, which I didn't know it was so big until I knew you guys, because there's some pretty big people that, superstars, because it's all the TV shows now. And you were talking to me, Kim, about you call them the new kids from A&E Paranormal,
Paranormal State, the new class.
The new class, yeah, because they're younger. So what was that like, being there and doing the coverage for all those, because everybody was there. That's who's who's.
The new class was great. We had an absolute blast with them. We spent almost the entire weekend when we weren't actually interviewing them or interviewing other people. We spent our evenings with them hanging out. And
the great thing about those kids was the fact that, I mean, they're a breath of fresh air. They were all either EMTs or firefighters. One of them, Savannah
just got
accepted into medical school to become a doctor. I mean, these kids were, you know, and I mean, I guess you could air quote it, but they were professionals. I mean, they had this, their investigating was done for their pure love of doing it. And from their exposure of near-death experiences with people having, you know, when they go to a scene and they pick somebody up and halfway to the hospital, they pass and they sit there and watch, you know, no brain activity and no heart function. And 3 minutes later, boom, everything comes back on. They wanted to be able to explain that. I mean, that was part of their gearing for their motivation. And the other real refreshing thing is they were like, if the show takes off, great. If the show doesn't take off, we all have professions and we're all still going to keep doing what we're doing, helping people.
What a lot of people don't know is most of them are related.
Yeah.
Savannah, Nate, and Steven mm-hmm. are all siblings, and then, no, Christopher, Nate, and Savannah are siblings, and then Steven is Savannah's husband.
Yeah. And their group was based out of their firehouse, basically. I mean, they were just, like I said, it was a breath of fresh air to see somebody come into this from the television side like that, to be that ethical, that open and honest, you know. And if you caught their first show on A&E, you noticed it was done different than a lot of ghost hunting shows. So it was just refreshing. Yeah. Yes, it was quite an honor to be asked to, you know, do what we were asked to do at Scarefest by both Patty and Laura. We were floored. We were honored by it.
Yeah, and it was an honor. You know, I wanted to understand this a little bit better. So they're on A&E. They took the place of one of, because I know there's so many shows on with the, you know, there's so many I can't even keep track of now. They should have one called Maureen. Maureen goes out and investigates all the psychics. But I mean, they have they're on A&E, and it's called are they taking a place of the one show that was still on, but they got new people, new kids are calling them? Because
no, there's Paranormal State. And then they're called Paranormal State, the new class. Their first show was actually a trailer because even the networks are getting tired of putting stuff out there that nobody's interested in. So people had to watch it and then write in to actually get these guys on their own show.
I see. So this is interesting. So did you see them? What was it, a pilot or a trailer you're saying? They did a trailer?
It was a full episode, but they've only filmed the one episode.
Test show.
Right. You go do this. If it flies, we'll do more.
Well, wait a minute. You know what I don't understand is I didn't hear this. You know, you're saying that once an EMT, you know, I know what that is, you know, ambulance, you know, person that helps. Okay, so they actually been involved in where somebody would pass or come back is what you're saying, because they would be helping them, right?
They are all EMTs. They've all worked on the ambulance. Cool. They've all worked with the firefighters. And according to Chris, who is the founder of Hoosier State Paranormal, which is their team, they actually had a patient in the ambulance who had passed away for 4 minutes. And then when he came back, the difference they saw in the person sparked their interest, and that's what got them started.
Oh, that is really different. That is very different. That is cool. I mean, that is something. That's an experience in itself. So these people, that's interesting. Because, you know, I've never heard that end of the people that were involved. You know what I mean? You don't hear about that. I don't, anyway.
Well,
that's the first I've ever
heard. We've actually interviewed several people that have applied for our team that were in the medical field for the same reason. I mean, it almost makes sense if you think about it, because those would be the people, especially on the front line at a hospital, nurses, you know, especially, they're going to be the ones closest to it, and they're the ones that are going to see it, and they're going to see the change in people, and they're going to be the ones that are talking to the patients, you know, and they're going to know when people are drugged up and when people are sober and telling them the best that they can tell them. You know, they're going to know.
Well, and we also have to let people know that they have a mentor who's been in the paranormal field for 20 years, John Tinney. He's also on the show, and he's the one that A&E called in to help them get through some of the stuff that they have to deal with.
Somebody more experienced that might have been exposed to more situations.
Right.
And spiritually, you know, Chip Coffey is their spiritual advisor, so they're doing well.
They're set.
Oh yeah, it sounds like it. Chip and Patty Starr probably has something. She's probably on supportive with them too.
I wouldn't doubt if she's a 911 call away.
Yeah, it's a really close. You know what I found? It's a really close. When there's always a good, bad, and ugly. But there's a really close connection with some of these people that you meet up with. I'm sure more so some of them than others, but that are really, like you said, it's a breath of fresh air that these guys are, and they have these mentors that are great, that even it doesn't matter how popular they are on TV, they'll still be there for them, for instance. You know, I'm curious about something you got, Eric and Kim. You know, I heard before about when someone passes, and because they may have talked to you about this, they actually have said that sometimes there's a, they think, because you know how we have a, you know, the soul, that people actually have a weight loss that's very slight. Have you ever heard about that before?
It was done during the tuberculosis outbreaks in the early 1900s, almost at 19th century. But in the early, they during some of the bad outbreaks, they would actually take weight measurements right before somebody passed and right after they passed, and not counting fluid loss and air volume loss, the average that was there was 21 grams.
Yeah, that's right.
Now I do need to quantify that by saying it's been gone back and researched and studied. That actual study that was published was found to have, some of their collection methods were found to be flawed.
Right.
So it's not something that I would take as gospel.
But it was also in the early 1900s, right, where they didn't have the technology either.
Right. But, I mean, even in just in concept, if you take for the fact, if you your soul would have to consist of something. It would have to be, in my opinion, energy.
Energy is energy. I mean, it is energy, and we're made of energy, so that's
and
true.
So if mass wise that equates to 21 grams, that would explain why some spirits only do minor tricks. They turn a light on and off. They move small objects from room to room.
Stupid ghost tricks.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay.
That would give scientific credence, but it would give a scientific explanation if something only had 21 grams of mass, they're only going to be able to move a certain amount without expending more energy.
Well, they're not going to be able to move a refrigerator as compared to an ink pen across the paper.
Right. Or pushing in the very top of a flashlight to make it go on and off.
Right, or going to the TV and making white noise. I just am saying that, but No, I was serious about that. It just came to my mind. I didn't think about talking about it, but I don't know if my other co-hosts have ever heard of that, about Steve or anybody. Have you guys ever heard about that? When a soul being weighed, there is like 20-something grams.
Oh, yes, I have. I've heard of that. Yeah, I have heard of that. The research that's been done, yeah.
I don't know about the new research, yeah. I find it interesting myself. I don't know. I think it would be making sense, but maybe somebody might have more. So I don't know. But I was just wondering if you guys had heard. I know I'm not out of my mind, but I know Kim and Eric. Well, you know, you guys, you know, what I really find interesting as also, thanks, Allura, for affirming that.
Sure. I have heard of that. It's an interesting fact. So
yeah, I think so.
I Eric and Kim, I've noticed since you know, being over there with a lot of you guys, investigators, whatever, there are many, many married couples that are paranormal investigators, and I'm wondering if that is a normal, there's my pun on words, is that
normal?
Well, it's
not necessarily a requirement.
Well, and a lot of investigators actually, one is a believer and one isn't.
You two. It started, wasn't it?
Me and the skeptic over here.
Yeah, that's kind of how it started out. But I mean, and you know my story, Maureen. But I had a change of perspective.
Maureen, I was just really interested to. I'm always fascinated by skeptics because I just think that they're so important in the work we do. Because I'm really fascinated by evidence and all of us working to really provide as much evidence as possible about the afterlife and the spirit world. So I'm always fascinated by skeptics. And I was just interested to ask, how many experiences did it take for you to de-skepticize yourself? I know that's not a real word, but it sounds
yes,
fun.
It is. I love it.
Actually, Steve, and I've talked about this, is before you were on The View. Allura knows a little bit of this story, and I know Maureen knows. I went to an event this past April at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, which is located in southern Tennessee. This is a very extremely active location. Not just me saying it; it's been documented. I underwent the Gonsfeld, which is a sensory deprivation experiment. In general, the concept being of the Gonsfeld, that when you deprive your brain of audio stimulus, and by that I mean you're listening to just pure white noise, and your visual acuity is taken away from you because that's where you place ping pong balls over your eyes, and generally it's done with a red light. Your eyes are not closed during the Gonsfeld, they're open. But your eyes are only exposed to a solid red field of view. The theory behind the Gonsfeld being that when your mind constantly wants to know its location. It wants to know where it's at in the world. It always wants to know its surroundings. That goes back to the caveman days. That when you take all the audio and visual away from you, over time, and it doesn't take very long, you lose track of where the wall is. You lose track of where in the room you might remember yourself being. And your mind starts to reach out with your sixth chakra, your third eye, whatever you'd like to call it. And I had a very enlightening experience in April, and I've since undergone it three or four other times, and each and every time has become a little more intense and a little more... I don't want to say graphic is not a good word, but a little more descriptive. And it kind of helped me realize that some things that I had been ignoring weren't my imagination. Things that I've been seeing, they weren't my imagination.
And is it safe to try Gonsfeld experiment at home? I've done quite a bit of trance mediumship, and I actually bought some ping pong balls to try a Gonsfeld experiment, but my cats took them. I need to go and get more. That's very true. I had good intentions.
But is it
safe to try at home?
Well, sure, but I would not try it alone.
Okay.
I've been blessed in my life with some meeting some really good friends on PTN. Maureen, of course, but also a gentleman by the name of Dr. Jim Clausen. And he's been I've kind of been his guinea pig's easiest way to put it, when it comes to the Gonsfeld, because he's fascinated by the fact that you can do this. I also know several people, one of them being Tommy Golden. He's extremely experienced with the Gonsfeld. He can actually remote view. He can actually astrally project through this because it opens up your mind to it. The white noise that me and Dr. Jim use also is, and once again, I can't think of the right word to use, so I'm going to use a bad one. It's laced with brain waves. By that I mean, you know, it has the four levels of brainwaves: alpha, beta, data, or alpha, beta, delta, and theta, I believe. And the brain, the white noise is actually geared to those frequencies, and it runs at a certain brainwave pattern for a certain length of time, and then goes to a slower one and a slower one. And to the point to where if you do an experiment with that type of white noise, you really need to have somebody there to watch you, because it will slow your heart rate down. Your breathing will slow down. In my case, simply because I think because of my size, it actually relaxes my soft palate to the point to where I actually start not a full-on freight train snore, but I'll actually start that little pre-snore, that little purr, I guess, Kim, like you said. But I am not asleep. That's the whole point. It's your physical body reacting to the stimulus that it's getting. It's not what your brain's doing.
Well, Kim, you did this too, didn't you? You did this also.
Yes, I did it in July.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was your experience a lot different than what Eric's talking about?
Mine was completely different. He and Tommy and Nikki and Trisha can all describe people or specific visions. Mine was, I kept seeing three people walk out of what looked like sand, like they were coming out of the desert, and they kept going to the left. But this was like a continuous circle. It just kept going, loop. And then when they put me under a different light, the only way I can explain it is wolves on Broadway. You see the Indian type vision, where there's a wolf, a lone wolf up on the top of a hill, and he's howling and the moon's behind him.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
There was like seven wolves, and the moon actually drew back like a spotlight would until it was just black.
So how do you interpret some of these experiences? For instance, it's trying to bring you into a certain place that we all can get to, but like, where do you draw the conclusion of, like, for instance, Kim, what do you think that one was all about? Or was it, did you feel good after you, came back into the normal state or what have you? But,
I felt fine. They thought I went to sleep on them, and I hadn't. As far as interpretations, I could not tell you what that what Wolves on Broadway had to do with anything. But I know Jim's team member Nikki, the last time he did the Gansfeld with her, she actually had three spirits around her who were investigating her.
Oh, wow.
She could hear them say, "Do you think she can hear us? Go ahead, touch her, see if she can feel you." So they were kind of being paranormal, or human investigators, I guess you'd call it.
And see, one of the theories being that when you undergo the Gansfeld, and you start reaching out with that energy, and I think the four of you guys will agree with this, the more that you do, the more energy that you put out, you actually will attract spirits to come talk to you. More things will come to you. Would you guys agree with that?
I'm always really fascinated by the physical mediumship circles that were so prominent in the late 19th century. I've read a lot about those, and they would sit together at a specific time every week, the same people, and they would spend months and years building the energy, and spirit come through very clearly when we commit and we fix a time and we're available. They just don't let you down, and the energy just gets stronger and stronger. It's just fascinating.
Well, that's the theory behind when you undergo the Gansfeld, especially if you're not around another psychic or medium or somebody that's just very in tune with themselves. and you're the only one there, you become a spotlight. You know, you're going to attract.
You're the beacon in the night.
Right. And they will come. So that's just been my experience so far, and it's helped me realize that to a certain degree I do have some abilities, and I'm trying my best with Maureen and several other people's help to try to kind of keep my noodle wrapped around all this.
And he realizes that I wasn't making stuff up for the last 9 years.
Right.
See, you're attracted to it, Eric. You know, it's interesting because, skeptic or not, it fascinated you enough to look at what's happened. I mean, it's your journey. I mean, our journey, how we get there, whatever. But you know what's interesting? I'm wondering, what you're talking about, and opposed to Ouija board. So, like, when people draw in the spirits, it's different, a whole different. Because with the Gainesville experiment, because, you know, this goes back way back when they were doing this. And it's more like going into the going deep down into yourself, almost like in the voice of silence of some sort. And going into a journey, almost like, you know, the Indians, you know, Allura, you know what I'm talking about, you know, you journey, doing a journey.
Yeah. And, yes, like vision questing. And
exactly, like, right. Yeah. So really, it's almost kind of like, but then, you know, with the Ouija boards, you know, people draw into, they could draw they say negative spirits. Well, you know how I feel about it. I'm not going to go into the Ouija so much, but I'm using that as an example. So, but what is there anybody that should not be doing or trying to do this, Eric? Do you think that if they're in a certain frame of mind or, you know, not stable or... you know,
I'm of the opinion that, you know, we all have these gifts. We're all wired the same. You know what I mean? Mechanically, our brains are within certain tolerances, very, very similar.
Right.
So everybody mechanically has these gifts and abilities, I believe. It's a matter of whether you have enough faith in yourself
and the people conducting the experiment.
Right. To do this, I mean, I think it would be safe for anybody to do it. It's a matter of whether you want to, if that's a path you want to take. You know, I did it just to try it, and look what happened to me.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot to say that during mine, something kept touching my face and driving me crazy.
And it wasn't me, even though she couldn't see.
Yeah.
Did you guys tape record? Did you do? Did you videotape this stuff?
No, we didn't. We haven't. Any of our sessions we've done here at the house, we didn't videotape. And our last trip to South Pittsburgh a couple months ago, or in October, we didn't videotape.
Jim videotaped downstairs.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. But I guess back in July, I guess we did. Yeah. The videotapes are a little boring. They're a little boring to look at because you're looking at somebody with ping pong balls over their eyes and a red light.
Well, if you could get into their head, you'd be seeing all sorts of stuff, I'm sure. I mean,
yes, ma'am.
Or wondering what the heck I was sitting there doing, smacking my own face.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Is it about, do you think it's about the more you do this, the more you might come closer into your true, authentic being and being open up to everything that we all are, you know, we all are, but we've been walking
around. I think it's helped jumpstart mine, Maureen.
Pardon me?
I think it's helped jumpstart my ability.
Yeah. I agree with you, absolutely, because I've been talking to you, but I'm wondering, like, if do people, I mean, I was trying to learn more, because, you know, when you told me about it, I just said I didn't know what it was, but then it occurred to me, yes, I did. 20 years ago, I remember... I did a little research then, but I thought it was fascinating. But I hadn't really talked much until you brought it up, and I go, I don't know what it is. But then it occurred to me, and I'm wondering if I don't know if you saw the video I put up, the video about this, the show tonight, and I put one of the, these person was showing the games with a couple that was doing it, and how it was, they were fine. It's almost like the blinders are coming off your eyes. You know, everybody's wearing blinders, me included, okay? And then all of a sudden, wow, you start getting enlightened. You open your eyes and you see everything how it should be. So I'm wondering, do you think it's something, Eric, like for you, for instance, do you think it's something that would be a good thing for you to do on a, like, monthly process? I don't know, or is it something that doesn't really have any rules, you don't think, or would it matter? Or, I mean, it probably can only get better for you if it's opened the door or your consciousness as much. I mean, do you follow me? What I'm asking you?
It's I think it's going to be a valuable tool, for me personally anyway. I don't think it's something I want to do every day. But by that I mean my experiences with it have been fairly intense, and I mean there's like a lot of information passed along.
Yeah.
It's not something at this point in time in my life that I'm ready to kind of deal with all that all the time.
Yeah, that's smart. I mean, that's so smart, because with all of us, I'm sure, and all of us hosts here know our journey has been how it's been. You'd be electrocuting yourself. But yeah. So far at this point in time, after you've gone through this, and Kim, I want you to answer this too. Do you feel exhausted, or do you feel relieved? Do you feel liberated? Do you feel peaceful? Do you feel, you know, what is it? Do you feel like you've rested, or do you feel drained, or?
Well, unfortunately, when I did mine, it was like 2 a.m. So when it was over, I bid my farewells and went to bed. But I can't say that it was draining or exhausting. It was just 2 a.m. and I had been up since 4.
What about you, Eric?
Well, with me, it's always energized. Not so much physically as mentally. It's almost like you're using parts of your brain, and probably are, that you in normal everyday life don't use. And it's just, to me, that's been my experience.
And that's a scientific fact that we all know that. You know, people don't use most of their brains. They haven't at all. But, you know.
That explains my problem.
That's why I have a daughter that goes to, you know, UCSD to learn about my brain and what I need to do about it. She's studying the brain. And she says that I have one heck of a brain. What do you think about that? Well, anyway, I'm sorry. You know how I go on about things. But, you know, Eric, Kim and I were talking, and she didn't tell me what this is, but she told me about something, and I've never heard of it. I've got to ask you. I'm really curious. But what is a Yeti hunt? A Yeti hunt. What is that all about?
Is that where Eric hides and you hunt for him?
I don't know.
That would be Yeti and Seek.
No, really. What is it? And Kim, unless you gave me wrong information, but it sounds pretty weird.
Well, it's a, I guess, it's Kim's fancy cryptozoological term. Basically, it's just going out. Here in Missouri, Bigfoot is known as Momo. So we
or
went out,
Red Eyes.
Or Red Eyes. And so we went out one night looking for Momo / Red Eyes.
Really? And so what happened?
Well, unfortunately, we didn't check the weather first. and a freeze came in that night. So we walked around in the woods, and I'm thinking Momo was cuddled up in a cave somewhere under a bunch of leaves, all nice and warm, with some camper Snicker bar laughing at us.
There has been some spottings, I heard, in your part of that country there.
There have been more sightings of Bigfoot in the last 3 or 4 years than there have been for the last decade.
Yeah, because the last major sighting here was in 77 until about 3 years ago.
Yeah. Getting around. You guys look out. There could be a Yeti in your town.
Not at the beach here, but you know, I find it fascinating because you guys, so that's a paranormal thing that I would say is not just, you know, that's something of interest. I didn't know you. I mean, how about the moth people? Mothman, I don't know.
They don't have the Mothman here.
Well, see, the thing about the Yeti, too, that you have to remember is that the Yeti or Sasquatch,
Bigfoot,
Momo, whatever you like to call them, in Tibetan lore, they're not actually completely of this dimension. They're known as transdimensional beings, which means they can be in all places at all times, which would explain why they'd be kind of hard to find, unless they wanted to be found.
That's true.
Wow, that's interesting.
Which also means that if they are let's just say evolutionary-wise, they are a step between. What's to say that they're not the next step?
Right.
And then they are just more spiritually in tune. This is a possibility.
They just need to do some waxing. I'm just kidding. You know,
You know me. I hate the Pillatories and all their evil forms.
Well, you know, I don't think they're evil, but we're going to take a fast commercial right now. But wait, everybody, wait. We're going to be coming back. So it's time for psychicaccess.com right now. We're going to commercial. Thank you.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
And we're back. Thank you. And we're back with Kim and Eric, the paranormal duo from Pima TV. And we were talking about all sorts of cool things. And we were talking about the Yeti hunt. Have you only done that one time where you've gone out and we're talking about whatever you want, you know, all those different names.
I did it a few times when I was little with one of my uncles.
Oh, really? It wasn't scary for you?
No.
You know, they haven't heard any. You know, I've never heard them to have hurt. You know, I like I said, you know my thing. I don't believe anything. I know what I know, and I don't ever say anybody else's stuff is not right. But from what I know about it, I've never heard them ever to be harmful.
Yeah, only on the Jack Link's beef jerky commercials are they actually harmful.
Yeah, well, exactly, and that's not in reality.
Those guys are just asking for it. Just watch the commercials.
Yeah, but they've never been known. I mean, from what isn't that true? They've never been known to be. But people are scared of them because they don't get them or whatever. They don't look like us. But
the claims on the most recent red eye sightings is that out in Steelville, three people were sleeping in a trailer and they heard something come out of the woods, and they claimed that it was scratching the side of the camper trying to get in there and banging on it and making all kinds of ruckus. But when we went out there, they had the backside of the trailer had been primered, and it looked more like someone had taken a rake, a small handheld garden rake type thing, and scratched the side. Because if a Yeti is anything like they show on TV, it could have ripped that tin can open.
Well, and the other thing too, and Gary Blackheart in the chat room did bring a good point. What about the theory that Yetis are what's before us in the evolutionary process? That's entirely possible, true, too. But I'm just saying it wouldn't be the first time that man in his ignorance has claimed that he is the end-all, be-all of evolution.
Well, absolutely. I agree with you.
And so I'm just saying it's that is a very entirely a possibility. Yeti could have been the stepping stone before man. I would think not.
Cro-Magnon man, dun dun dun.
You know, that would be my opinion, of course. You know, everybody knows my nickname, so.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you guys, Kim was on the show months ago, Eric, you weren't in town, and I wanted to ask you, because this is interesting, because talking about you two, you brought up something to me the other day about how you two, I said, I didn't know this either. I thought that you two always, you know, would hang out, your husband and wife, you go investigate, whatever, if someone called on you to investigate. I'm not talking about the events. I'm talking about if someone requested you to come to investigate a paranormal. You two don't like to go out, and you two separate yourselves. Is that correct?
About 99% of the time, we rarely investigate together. At best, we'll spend a couple hours together, but like at the hospital, it's a 48-hour thing. We may actually only investigate together 2 hours out of the entire 48.
And why is that?
Well, because on various other occasions, we do investigate. We don't make it a habit. We don't walk in there and go, "Oh, I don't like you," and run away from each other. We know each other's energies to the point to where it's more of a military thing. It's more of a divide and conquer. Kim knows what she feels and how she uses her tools. I'll go the other direction
with your tools,
with my tools and abilities, and we'll try to meet them in the middle. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's why I was asking you, because you're a couple and you're married. There's other people that I know. You even said the kids, they're all like related or something. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. That you actually would do better off doing it that way. You'd be more objective, and plus you bring more to the plate or to the whatever.
Well, and Eric's thing is he takes off with a mini DV and a voice recorder. I head the other way. I'm a dowser, so I take my dowsing rods and my voice recorder a completely different way.
I think I can see it now. I can, in my head, I see you with your dowser. I didn't know that about you, Kim. I didn't know you did dowsing. I think that's what I think it's really cool myself. I mean, dowsing's been around forever. And I didn't know that about you. See, that's very interesting. And you know, also, well, you talked about, Kim, last time about that little boy. You guys went out to some investigation, and what it turned out to be was kind of unusual, but it wasn't paranormal. And I wanted to know if you'd tell us about that, because that does happen. Remember the one about the little boy and the...
Right, that was our investigation over in Belleville, Illinois. They had claims that the little boy couldn't sleep in his room, that something was constantly in there, that he was terrified he wouldn't play in his room. Unless his grandpa or his mom or his grandma sat there with him, he spent no time in that bedroom at all. And we went in there with an EMF detector.
Well, we actually went in there with the device is called a ghost detector. And it's simply an EMF detector. It only detects, an EMF is electromagnetic field, and it's detected in units called milligauss. And a ghost detector is simply just an EMF meter that only goes to 5 milligauss or 0.5 milligauss, and it has a little LED on top of it that will light up when it's detects an EMF. Theory being, if the spirit is there and they want to detect it, you not only will see the needle move, you'll also see the light go off, okay? Right. When we walked into that room with that ghost detector and it was sat on the bed,
it pegged out.
It pegged out and never moved. That was kind of a dead giveaway. The first thing we did was start looking around the room. They had this boy, he had a lot of really cool toys.
All electric.
But they were all electric and all plugged in. So he had multiple extension cords, like one cord into the wall, three things into every plug, you know.
Plus, he had four hardline live phone lines under his bed because it used to be his grandmother's office.
Right. So, I mean, it environmentally, we were starting, and the theory being that it's long-term exposure to EMF will create paranoia,
nausea,
sickness. Just generally, you don't feel bad. And if you think about it, when you go to the basement of any major building and you walk into that electrical corridor room, you don't really want to stay in there a long time.
Right. Yes, interesting.
But when we went outside, we actually went outside to go look around the house at one point during the investigation. We noticed that they were near a set of transmission lines. And I don't mean the small, like, go to a transformer, go to your house type power lines. I mean, like, going across the country type transmission lines. So these things, and those are well known to kick out huge amounts of EMF. But we, like Kim mentioned, we were there at night. When we actually went back to do what little we did find and give them our theories as to what we had found while we were there, we noticed their house was actually in the corner of two sets of transmission lines. So their house was basically with the regular neighborhood power lines and those transmission lines. Their house was inside what's called a fear cage. their house was basically entirely soaked and surrounded by EMF.
They were surrounded on three sides by these wires.
And everybody seemed to like to hang out on the end of the house that was farthest away from that corner. That little boy's room being at the very corner, closest to the corner where all these lines met. So when we saw that, the first thing we did was tell the people, okay, we did have one very interesting personal experience. We didn't videotape it with myself, another team member, Anthony, and the couple that owned the house. We did have a very interesting experience with them while we were there. But when we saw what those transmission lines did, our first thing we told them was, you need to get a hold of an environmental sciences company, because this may not be anything paranormal. This could seriously be an issue that you need to address, especially with having a small child at a young age being exposed to high levels of that for a long period of time, because they hadn't planned on moving anytime soon.
Well, it's a good thing that you were knowledgeable enough.
I actually checked back with them 6 weeks. 6 weeks after the investigation, they had cut the four phone lines in his bedroom. They had minimized his electronic equipment in there, and he was actually able to spend up to 6 hours in there playing finally.
Well, I find that really great investigation stuff for you. I mean, actually, because other people may not have gotten that. I don't know. Because you have to go with the open mind, but, you know... It sounds pretty intense to me, but I wouldn't have known ever. I wouldn't have known it. So were they? That is really strange. Is that normal that would happen? Something like that so much? I guess well, maybe so. I have a lot of wires in here.
It's not normal for your house to be surrounded by three sides.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
The other thing too is, I mean, when we go on an investigation, we're not. We want to rule out everything else before we start telling somebody that they have anything paranormal going on.
Right.
I mean, we're going to make sure to check for loose wiring or bad wiring. We're going to check for...
Loose floorboards or doors that don't shut completely or...
Right. We're going to go through every logical explanation first before we try to tell anybody that it's paranormal. And we're for damn sure not going to tell them it's a demon.
Right.
Well, you know, you guys, we're getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to close, you guys. But I wanted to tell you something, and everybody else can hear me. But you know, I really thank you both for coming, and thank you for joining us tonight, because I really have a lot of respect for what you both do, and I really appreciate you sharing your insight with people. Because, and most importantly, your commitment to your intentions of being, you're very compassionate, you're very considerate, and you're understanding paranormal investigators. And I know for a fact that there are some that just have a lot of money to just spend. They buy all, we talked about this, they can have any kind of equipment they want, but they just, it's almost like, it's not there's no compassion. The intent is not really you know what I mean. It's just not well...
You get a lot that are so gung-ho about catching that ghost that they don't take the clients or the building or the property into consideration.
You have to be in this to help people, whether they're alive or dead.
Yeah, that's true. Huh? Alive or dead.
Bar none, that needs to be your motivation. If you have any other motivation for doing this, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
And you two are not. And so with that said, I'm going to... Oh, also, I want everybody to know to contact... Who doesn't know? Everybody knows, you guys. But to contact Eric or Kim, please visit... You know what? I put www.peoplestvnetwork.com/PimaTV. And you can also contact information on our guest page at psychicaccess.radio.com. Sorry. I didn't mean anything by that, okay?
Doug's going, oh, yeah, you did. Friday and slip.
I didn't mean nothing by that. Well, you know, and I
put that... That's a craft in here, Maureen.
you can... Well, this is funny. Eric and Kim, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I really appreciate you two, as you know. And I'll see you. I'll be seeing you like I do.
You better show up at our show tomorrow. Remember,
yes, I know. I will, because that's and everybody. Do you have a show? Why don't you tell people what time your show's on? Where it's at, please, before you go.
Our show is Friday nights 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time on Channel 2. It's Pima TV. This week, our guest is author Tom Baker, who has written Scary Urban Legends and Midwest Serial Killers.
Ooh.
It's going to be really interesting. And they interview people really well, everybody. You really got to check them out. I really love the way you interview people. I always thought you, I just think you have a really good way of interviewing. So I will be there tomorrow night, no doubt about it.
Shut up and listen.
Yeah. So, and everybody I know in the chat room, I haven't been in there, but because I haven't been able to, but I'm sure they're all going to be there too. So there you have it. Kim and Eric, yay! Thanks for coming on, Kim and Eric.
Thanks,
I'll talk to you guys
later.
Thank
you for having us. It's our pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks you
so
too.
Much. Good to see
thank you guys.
See.
Good night. Thank you.
Night all.
Night night. Well, they're not going to sleep. You know.
Eric is.
Hey. So, I would like to. Oh, I want to take a moment to. And I really enjoyed those two. I hope you guys enjoyed them. And they're interesting people and really great people. But also, I want to be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site for anything psychic you would like to learn about. Learn about everything from reincarnation to how-tos of psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. And it's true. I'm not just making this up, okay? So, and it is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic is a direct reflection of Doug. And, you know, all of the co-hosts here at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us again at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. And here's another something interesting. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. So I want to give everybody, if you have a pen or get ready for the call-in number, I hope we are going to be able to do that. I'll give you the number. It's 724-444-4851. And we'll be doing readings like the second half, the last 30 minutes, 35 minutes of our show. And I wanted to give you the number, and I'll repeat it again later. So now we're going to get to our fun time, guys.
All right.
Ready, set, go.
Are we having fun yet?
Are we having fun yet? Okay, you guys are so quiet. But I guess I'm the anchoring person, so I'm not. So, so you know, Jackie.
Maureen.
You know, I'm really happy. I really am happy that you're joining us, that you're here with us. I think you're wonderful energy. And you're going to help me, too. So that's
that's right, girl. I'm helping you already, honey. I'm
yes,
sending
you
it
are.
Your way.
And, you know, I want to know what your thoughts are on mixing business with pleasure. I know what my thoughts are about that.
Well, let me see. What kind of pleasure are we talking about? No, I'm sorry. It's a fun group here. We got some laughs going and the energy's running wild. So sorry if I'm a little offbeat.
No,
but, you know, I love that question. And, you know, after listening to the show, I have to say my perspective about it has changed. You know, I've had the belief and I always grew up saying, you know, you never mix business with pleasure. You don't do business with family members. Things turn sour, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, listening to them, you know, they're such a clear perspective. And I think, you know, that's what all of it is really about. If you be honest with yourself and, you know, number one, choosing people just because maybe they have that knowledge, but maybe there's not a
working, you know, connection personality. I mean, there are a lot of people that have knowledge, you know, in our families, let's say, but, you know, if you're not going to click and you can't get along, what, it's not going to do any good. So I feel like my kind of perspective has changed. I certainly think it's a possibility to work with somebody, you know, mixing business with pleasure, so to speak, but being really clear and upfront and honest about what it takes to make that kind of a partnership work. So I definitely think it's possible, but I also think you got to be really honest and can't go in there with this illusion that, you know, that things aren't going to show up. So being prepared and being realistic about it.
I agree with you. In fact, especially with their work that they do, and like I said, there, it seems like there's a lot of they were talking about those new kids, they call them new kids, whatever. They're all related or brothers or something, but like there's a lot of married people I've met getting in this bunch of people that, you know, I wasn't always involved with, but that they're married couples, I noticed. It's interesting. But Kim and Eric brought up a good point. They don't. They actually, they'll go to the events together. And like, you know, if they're, that's a different thing. They're not out in an investigation by request, but they're, when they do that, though, they separate each other for good reasons. I liked what they were talking about, because mm-hmm. they do better that way. And I don't know. I think in my case, anybody did, and I, because of my example with my work that I did do. And I started in 1989 doing this. It was the worst situation I could have ever done, was get involved with my sister involved. that was just because I had no respect for what I was doing and I was creative in. But that's not the same as paranormal. But we're all paranormal. But in fact, Allura,
yeah.
What is the definition of paranormal? Thank you, Jackie. And I'm glad you brought that up, though. Mm-hmm. What is the definition of paranormal according to the encyclopedia?
Well, there's an Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary, and I looked it up because, honestly, I wasn't sure. I mean, I have a feel for the word, but I really wanted to understand it better before we did the show. So I thought, if I have that question, maybe our listeners have that question as well. So I thought I'd look it up. Well, according to the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary, paranormal is this. It means something beyond present accepted models of science, above and beyond everyday happenings, pertains to psychic events by those who do not believe everyone is capable of developing psychism, and that which is unexplainable but not, quote, absurd, unquote. That was kind of nebulous to me, so I went further and I kind of explored the internet, and one website explained paranormal like this. They say, and I'm quoting them, the rule of thumb used to classify paranormal activity encompasses anything that defies logical explanation. Simply put, events, encounters, or activities that occur outside the bounds of normal activity are often considered paranormal in nature. That was more, I don't know, something a little, like, kind of sink my teeth into a little more, so I like that. But I just want to offer that up, just in case other people had that question as well.
I think that's a good point, you know, because a lot of people will think paranormal are, because of all the, for me, all the TV shows out on are all about the paranormal this, and a lot of it, they connect it completely onto people that are dead or whatever.
Right.
You know, paranormal does go, I mean, I'm a paranormal.
Right, we all are. You know, I hear you, but it's kind of a huge, broad area that seemed to be kind of nebulous, and I kind of wanted to be able to, I don't know, put substance into it for myself,
That was good. I thought that was very good how you put what you said, because it was good to offer that. And you know, Sally Ryan, when she was here, Dr. Ryan Feather, it was her father that started the paranormal name. In fact, you know, parapsychology is what it is, also paranormal, because it is the parts like psychological, and there's a paranormal, they can connect. It's so interesting how that times have changed, but us all here together is kind of paranormal.
I mean, you know, it is anything outside of the norm, it seems like, you know, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to sink your teeth into, but there's a science to it and there's a consciousness to it. So
right.
It's hard to define, you know.
It is. It's interesting, and it was a very good point. Steve, I wanted to ask you, which is the most, well, I'm going to, yeah, which is, you probably have a lot of them, so what is the most recent paranormal experience you've been, had?
Well, it was actually the reason I wasn't able to attend the Best Ever Mediums radio show. I was contacted by a family on a military base in Kentucky, and they were having dreadful problems with their home, from knives being thrown around, things disappearing, writing appearing on the wall, all kinds of things were happening in their home. And I went with three colleagues, and we exercised the home. And to be honest, there seems to be a big rise in demand for exorcism and dealing with really negative situations. Not sure exactly why, but they're always very interesting. And I was interested in what your guests were saying, Maureen, because, you know, they said particularly at the end of the interview that if you want to do this work, it has to be because you want to help people, because you either want to help people here on Earth or you want to help people in spirit. And I always go with the view that we are there to help people, and we're there to help negative energy and negative spirits move towards the light. So I was always taught that you always send spirit to the light. So if an entity or an energy is stuck or is behaving inappropriately, you call in the angels and you force that spirit to the light.
You know, Steve, I want to bring you back to this because it's very interesting what went on. We need to take a commercial. It's sponsored by PTN Commercial, and we'll be right back.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Every Tuesday night, check out Miami Town Ghost Talk on the People's TV Network and ASPRN.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Miami Town Ghost Talk is hosted by Mike and Jeff, the authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, and the co-founders of Miami Town Ghost Tours. Miami Town Ghost Talk will delve into all aspects of the paranormal, from cryptozoology, UFOs, to ghosts and spirits, talking to authors, investigators, and so much more. So be sure to check out Miami Town Ghost Talk every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com and PeoplesTVNetwork.com at PTN Radio.
And we're back. And, you know, I wanted also to let everybody know again about the readings that we'll be doing. And so I wanted to give that number again, and here it goes. It's 724-444-4851. And we want you to know that you will be put, when you call in, you'll automatically be placed on hold. You won't be, you know, it won't be answered by a human being or paranormal, but it will be answered in order received. So please just relax, and you can listen to the show while you wait. And we also would really appreciate if you'd be very specific and direct with your question, as this will really allow us to better connect with your situation. So I'll give that number again in a bit as well, and we'll be coming to that. I don't know, 20 minutes or so. Anyway, Steve, I would like to bring us back, and I'm sorry that I had to do that, because I find this interesting, because there was a priest, if you remember where you left off, please.
I do.
Okay.
I was just making the point that, you know, any negative energy, you send it to the light. And if it's very bad energy, you have to force it, kicking and screaming, to the light. But it's the light, it's the love and light of the spirit world of God, of whichever term we want to use. It's that light and that love that puts these situations right.
That's beautiful. It is.
I believe that, absolutely, and I tell you, whenever, I'm very lucky because I've learned to protect myself very well and protect my energy very well. You know, when you do this work full time, as we do, you have to learn to protect yourself well, and that's not only just from clients' energy, it's from all energy that's floating around, and Whenever in the past I have been approached by a spirit that I feel is not of the light, my approach has just automatically been to tell it how much I love it. And I know that sounds crazy, but
no, it doesn't.
Say, if you want to be loved unconditionally, step closer to me. No matter what you've done, no matter what you are, no matter what you want to do to me, the closer you get, the more I will love you. I'll love you unconditionally, and I will help you unconditionally. And if it's a really bad energy, it runs.
Yeah,
but it's true. It's true.
Yeah,
and when you're in a situation. Sorry, Maureen.
No, I believe everything you're saying is so true. Love is extremely strong. I mean, that's all there's to it. And I'm sorry, go on. I wanted to say that.
You know, I was just saying that when you go to a property or you're dealing with somebody that is being badly affected by a negative energy or negative entity, then the solution is to force it to the light. But there's a big rise in this kind of problem at the moment. I read on the internet that the Catholic Church held a conference in Baltimore, I think it was, to train more priests in exorcism.
Wow. Why do you think there's a rise in this type of problem at this time, Steve? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. I mean, whenever I ask my guides about negative energy, they always tell me that negative energy, you know, we've said before on other shows, we're interconnected, so we're able to read each other and we're able to connect with the spirit world and provide insight and evidence because we're all part of one interwoven tapestry, in effect. And I always think, you know, you talk of karma, you think I always say to clients, if I am hateful towards somebody, then that hate would move on and would end up somewhere else, and it could grow. But if I'm kind to people, then that kindness and the goodness will go out into the world and hopefully expand as well. I always believe that the very negative energy is a manifestation of our collective negative energy, in effect. And I think, you know, with the problems we have with the economy and people out of work and all of the socioeconomic problems that come with that, we're seeing a greater accumulation or manifestation of negative energies. But they seem to crop up, particularly where there's a lot of disharmony. One of the first questions I ask if I get an inquiry about a poltergeist or a negative entity in a home, or one of the first questions I'll ask is, well, who's in the home and what are their what's their state of mind? What are their relationships like? And you find that there's generally discord or disharmony in a home or a property where a negative entity is drawn and will manifest itself.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I always say we're colored by our environment, the people that were around, and the crazy makers that were around. But, it's true. That's why I like to sage everything. I'm going everywhere. I go sage it out. But it's like imprints of in the walls that we've created. You know
what's interesting? I just want to touch base on what Steve was saying, that the, putting out that negative energy and it's just, you know, kind of, I guess we could say, floating into the ethers, you know, being conscious of protecting ourselves. And, you know, because what I find, one of the tools that I use, kind of a little trick that I learned in my workshops, is that one of the things we can do when we find ourselves being negative, you know, and trying to catch ourselves sooner than later, the minute that we're negative, like if we say something negative, like, oh, well, he's this or she's that, or you know, something derogatory or negative in meaning, that immediately we can just say, you know, I'm going to cancel that, I'm going to clear it, I'm going to delete it. You know, and it's just choosing those words, you know, because what we're doing in essence is kind of putting a stop to that energy before it goes out. And like you said, it could attach itself to somebody who's so vulnerable and isn't aware, like we are, that we really need to protect ourselves. We really need to energetically shield ourselves. So I just wanted to share that with you guys and with the listeners that, you know, if you're ever in that place where you just like, oh, you know what, I want to catch myself, I'm going to cancel that, I'm going to clear it, and I'm going to delete it. So you're saying to the universe, I'm not sending this out, and I'm going to take it back, and I'm going to transmute it and get rid of it. So it's not going to go anywhere, not to me or to anybody else.
That's a good point. And I like that point. And in fact, also, I want to bring up, even when you're doing it to yourself, I personally know that, you can put, words are really powerful, and it doesn't matter whether they're truth or not. But when you do it to yourself, even that's where you get into a real dark place, and that's where you almost like open up the whole. It's awful, and then
That's why affirmations. I'm sorry. I just want to say that's why affirmations are so powerful. The positive affirmation.
Exactly. It's the same thing. It's a positive and negative. Like I said, you know, even when we do readings for people, it's like they have a choice. You can, you know, every negative can be a positive if you want to do that. It's the same thing. And affirmations are, but negative affirmations are just as powerful.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I choose not to do that. No, I have issues with that. I work on that all the time, but it isn't right. And well, it isn't right. But the thing, if it is, I find that it's, you know what, we're in a very interesting time period right now. But you know, I wanted to ask you, Laura, about something. You brought something up that I saw that I thought was kind of interesting. I wanted to ask you, or was it? It had to do with here it comes. Wait for it. Well, list of famous people associated with paranormal. You looked up some people. I wanted to hear what the ones you...
I did. I really wanted to kind of find out more about the subject matter, who has been involved, and that sort of thing, to get a better feel for the paranormal, you know, subject. So anyway, famous people associated with the paranormal are Nikola Tesla, Dr. Von Neumann, Albert Einstein, Wilhelm Reich, David Hamill, John Hutchinson, Helga Morrow, Eddie Page, Robert Monroe, Al Bielek, Preston Nichols, Duncan Cameron, Dr. Levinston, David Hilbert, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, Phil Schneider, and Travis Walton.
And
I don't know who they all are, but I know who some of them are. And it's pretty incredible. I never really thought of them as paranormal. I basically think of them, some of these people as scientists, ahead of their time. So that helped me learn that anything that's, I guess, even ahead of its time, but still considered scientific would be considered paranormal, because it's not whatever they are working on or discovering is outside of the mainstream, you know, the accepted norm and standards, you know, of mainstream science. And so I thought that was interesting. It just helped me to learn more about what paranormal means.
Well, you
what
left
falls
us
into the realm of paranormal.
Did you leave us four of us people? In
yes. Yes, but I figure we're not famous yet, so I was covering famous people.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because Albert Einstein, for instance, you know, it is the people, a lot of the scientists, mad scientists came from that. A lot of the neurotics are extremely sensitive, and during the time period, well, when somebody is thinking about light bulbs before the whatever, they must have been considered paranormal or not normal, para, whatever, but they would give them lobotomy so they just forget about them. And that's,
right.
That's so sad. It breaks my heart to think about, we would have been those people.
Right.
They did that in the 30s and the 40s, probably before that, but, you know, lobotomy to me is just a word that I just run from.
Yeah, exactly.
I like to think that we're the normal ones, and, you know, it's interesting because nobody who's ever quote-unquote normal ever did anything that was amazing. I mean, like you said, look at Einstein, you know, he had a label on him that he was probably a nut job, you know, and there are many others. I can't think of them off the top of my head. So, you know,
I personally want to be a part of that so-called not normal group because, you know what, we're the pioneers here and we're the messengers about getting the word out. You know, we know what it's like. We live this life, you know, 24/7 and there's so much available. There's just so much and I want to shout it on the top of the rooftops, you know, but you know, we can't, you know, we got to meet people where they're at and just trust that, you know, they're doing their journey and whatever that may be. But, you know, there is another way. There really is another way. So
you could shout on top of a building if you want to.
Okay. I'll do that in a little bit.
I'll get up on top of mine. We'll shout. We'll see if we can hear each other. You know, actually, that would be a good idea. Maybe something we could do, because I know I've heard this done on Coast to Coast Radio. You know, George and our Bill. They've done stuff where everybody puts out a prayer or whatever at the same time. That a lot can be done. I mean, something of an experiment. I don't know.
A prayer or a meditation or something that was done. I don't know the logistics of it, but you're right. We all can do this. You know, you set the time, the place, the date, whatever, and then at that moment, you know, everybody does what they need to do, and it's raising that level of consciousness. I mean, we're all connected. Like I think it was Steve that was saying, you know, our consciousness, we're all connected.
Yeah. It was psychic. We are born psychic inheritance, I call it, by the way. We're going to go to a commercial right now from psychicaccess.com, our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Okay, and we're back. And I would like to take this moment. Thank you. You know what? I really appreciate our group here because we kind of banter pretty cool, I think. Anyway, we have come to the part of that show where we're not going to leave you because we're going to be taking your calls. And we have some calls on hold right now, but you can call in at the number again is 724-444-4851. Again, if you don't remember that number, I'm sure someone has typed it into the chat room too. Could maybe
yes, I'm doing it.
Thank you. It's 724-444-4851. And again, please be aware that you will automatically be placed on hold, and that doesn't mean that you've been lost in space, because we will answer in an order received, and you'll be able to hear the show as it goes on, and we'll get to you. And please, we really would like to have direct questions, because it will really help. It'll give you a much better reading, as well as let us help you get a much, you know, something you can take with you. And so there you have it. So I think we're going to go to calls right now. Is that what we want to do, everybody? I think we have a call from Utah.
Yeah.
Utah, hey! Hi, Utah. That's my home away from home. Utah is my home. Salt Lake City is my home away from home. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm fine. And what's your name?
My name's Christopher.
Hi, Christopher. This is Maureen and the rest of us. You'll hear the rest of us. And what can we focus on? nice of you to call. What can we help you with or help focus on? What do you have?
What I was hearing originally, you guys are talking about entities and spirits and sending things on, and wow, because that is actually a big deal. I think that's a thing that is occurring more and more and more, and it's getting people's attention. But that wasn't my question. I was just kind of surprised that you guys went there with the subject matter.
In a good way, surprised?
Well, just that, you know, it wasn't really on topic with the Bigfoots and stuff that you were talking about earlier. So I'm all like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, and then, you know. Anyways, well, my question was I think that we are in some sort of financial economic crunch. Something's going on. And I was wondering if anybody had any perceptions on maybe how it's going to go, when it's going to change, if it's going to change, maybe what the result will be. If anybody had any perceptions. so we could economically plan a little bit.
Oh, okay. You guys, did you get that question okay? What he's asking
about? I heard parts of it. Some of it went out.
Yeah, it's a little... Christopher's asking about our economical problems that we have put ourselves into. My generation, I know, is responsible for that. I didn't say it. But you were asking us, Christopher, you're really asking us actually more of a humanitarian, of the whole people that are not
from
so
a larger...
Yes.
Is it from a larger perspective? I personally, Christopher, believe that a lot of it does have to do, and it's funny you're asking about this because I got another sort of picture today about this, that it really does have to do with our old basis for how our financial structure is set up. Is crumbling, and a lot of people are kind of reaching to try, and including the government, to save the old structure. The structure that it's not old; it's been around for a long time. That's why I say old, but it's a current structure. But they're having a heck of a time doing that, and it's not that they're not trying to do something; they're trying to save it, or they're trying to fix something that really needs an innovative mind and thought process to change, as well as an innovative spirit to accept that it needs innovations and to integrate innovative type of technologies and thought and processes rather than stick to the old. So what I'm getting, I don't have a full picture yet. It's kind of a step-by-step process. I am getting that there are major changes going on, and this is why it's happening because I personally feel it myself. A lot of people do, and it can be hard when it does hit you personally. But I was given a bigger picture view, which is actually not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it's sorely needed for the good of all. And so in the long run, it's actually, if we play our cards right, it could be much better for us. And I believe it will be because we're just... It's almost like it's being our own consciousness is forcing it upon us because it'll kind of collapse in on itself because it just won't support the foundation, the financial foundation that is going on in the world today cannot be supported based on the consciousness that is being required for us to move into. Or some of us, anyway.
Steve?
Yeah, but it's just kind of a weird ride along the way. It's like,
yes.
Yeah.
Part of, and you were saying something about planning. The planning for me has to do with going within yourself and getting in touch with what will work for you, being more in your integrity and honest about what your passion is, what will move you, because that gets energy moving in your body and outwardly and expanding to others. And as we all do that, it'll start improving conditions, not only for us personally, but globally. And that was another thing I got. For instance, I actually went to law school. I'm a lawyer, but I'm not practicing law, obviously. So, because I'm doing what I want to do. Which is
so
totally different from what I was trained to do.
With the system that works.
Anyway, I'm sorry. So go right ahead,
that's,
Steve.
That's great. And Steve, I think you had some insight as well, correct?
Well, my insight that my guides offer in response to Christopher's question, we're in a mess, and it's a global mess. And my guides say that it's a manifestation of our energy, of what we're creating. You know, if you look back at quite a long time, we gave corporations rights that only belonged originally to people, to individuals, and we gave them rights of investment and all kinds of rights that didn't or weren't originally permitted for organizations. And I think that quite a lot of that has got out of control. And a lot of people are, consumers are looking to buy products from organizations that operate with high integrity more and more. So we've moved more towards responsibility around supply chain and responsibility with sourcing and replanting trees and eliminating waste in packaging and things like that. But there's so much more to be done, and I believe that collectively we're getting to a stage where we'll expect businesses and corporations, organizations to treat treat their employees, their customers, with the same care that we're starting to treat the planet and the resources that are available to us. And it's energetic, you know, because energetically we're becoming more, not necessarily more spiritual, but our energy is increasing, and we're becoming more and more aware of how interconnected we are. And I think through our interconnection with the economy, we're showing ourselves step by step that we are part of one thing, and we can't operate as separately. We have to operate with an awareness of the whole. And it's in my opinion, it's not until we actually start to accept that we all are part of one thing that we have to respect the impact that our economies have upon each other, and the impact that our consumerism has upon other parts of the world.
Are you there? You know, I wanted that was very good, Steve, and Allura also, and Christopher. I just want to, you know what, I get real quick. You know, my take is this. I kind of get it's kind of a bummer and sad, but you know, it's almost like we had these wishes about, or we have had these desires from the 60s. Everything kind of started in about things and taking things for granted. And we have. There's no doubt about it. And also then we got into this stuff with, you know, coupling up and the temptation of being with everybody in the 80s. So, I mean, really, the family structure started breaking down. And, you know, but I think that it's going to be a lot of hard work. We're going to have to carry each other's backs. And we all can do it, but I don't think, but it will be a positive, not so dysfunctional. And it's going to be a lot of work. And I think that we're getting the lesson. I hope that, Christopher, that helped. You probably have your take too as well, but I hope that was helpful for you to ponder. Thanks, Christopher, for calling from Utah. I love Utah.
Great, thank you.
Yes, and thank you, Christopher. That was good.
That was a great question. We have a caller that is not calling. Our next caller is not calling from Texas. Hi, caller. And you're not calling.
Hey, guys.
I know you're not,
how are you doing?
There you are. Hi, who's this?
Aloha again.
I know who this is. This is someone that's not from Texas, but from Hawaii in the Hula Girl land. It's Michael. Hi, Michael.
Great show. Hey, great show. Eric and Kim were awesome guests.
Yes, they are. They are.
Great show. I'll make it quick. I don't think other people might want to come on. I got actually a comment and a question for you folks.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
No.
The comment was about something you were talking about earlier. I think it was funny you were talking about the Catholic Church and them actually having priests ordained to be exorcists. Expect in January, and this is for everyone in the chat room who deals with the paranormal, from Eric and Kim to Gary to you folks, expect the questions about demons to go big time starting in January, because I've seen Anthony Hopkins has a movie coming out in January, and it's actual based about what you were talking about. It's based on actual facts about the Catholic Church wanting priests ordained as exorcisms, and they wanted one in each major church around the world. And I've seen the previews of this movie, and I think it's going to give the exorcists a run for its money as far as getting in there scary-wise. But I think that the talk about demons is going to go big time in January. That's just, I wanted to make a comment on that. But the question I had was, I heard Maureen talking about negative affirmations, and I've never heard that before. So if you actually explain that, I don't know what positive affirmations are. I actually have affirmation cards that I use. But what are negative affirmations?
Well, I can answer that right now because I do to myself too often. I'm telling everybody my story because I'm exposing myself. But then Allura, I think you have something to say. I'm sorry, I got you. But
okay.
I do want to say, and it's been a real problem for me because, you know, it just has. But and then it becomes familiar. But like for instance, I have said to myself things that are not nice. It's like talking about someone else that are, like, so if I say, oh, that person's so stupid, they're ugly, they're stupid, they're, you know, whatever, they're losers,
okay.
they're not doing, they'll never become, it's that kind of stuff, Michael. You know, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Negativity in general.
Towards yourself, yes.
Oh,
And go on, Laura.
Yeah, no, it's Jackie. Sorry, I just want to jump in.
I'm sorry.
I'm really passionate about the words and languaging and stuff. So, Michael, really, well, the way I see it is, you know, if you look at the positive affirmations, you know, we're saying, you know, I am this, I am that. You know, it's like we're right. putting that out there. You know, and if you flip it around, you're just saying, I'm never going to be successful. I'm never going to make enough money. I'm always struggling. I mean, that's literally what you're creating and what you're bringing to you. So it's that inner dialogue, whether you say it to yourself, to somebody else, even if you're thinking it. And that's the hard thing is to catch yourself thinking those things. So
I had a book and I lost it. I got to go hunt for it again. It was a spiritual book. I found it in a metaphysical bookstore. And had all these Eastern Asian teachings from Buddhism and they had, and this in general, and they had this one quote that I never forgot. And it came from Asia, but the teacher was saying, if you picture negativity in your mind, like say you're climbing a building and you're constantly thinking, I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall. Subconsciously, your mind is going to make it where it happens.
Like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Pardon? Are you guys still there?
Michael?
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Oh, are you there, Michael? Did you get that?
He broke up on this one, dead silence. I didn't know if I lost you guys or not. But yeah, that's what the scene was. Basically, if you put it in your mind, I'm going to fall off the building, I fall off the building,
right.
Your subconsciously it's going to go into effect.
Right. That's right. That's absolutely right. And the same thing with the positive. But see, now the problem with the positive is we may not believe what we're saying. So you got to choose the words carefully and kind of tweak them so it resonates with you. Because if you say, oh, I'm going to win $1 million, you know, then you're like, yeah, right. That's a bunch of nonsense. So you're not believing the affirmations. I mean, I'm all for affirmations, but I think creating affirmations that feel good and believable, that feel believable to you.
Yeah. Well, thanks, folks, for letting me come on. And you guys are all your partner in the background. He's real quiet. It's kind of scaring me now.
Thank you, Michael.
This is me you'll refer to.
You guys are all awesome.
I lost power.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
Yeah. You guys are all huh?
But it's fascinating.
Now let's get you going. Yeah, because you guys are breaking up now. So I guess we have real bad weather in Hawaii right now. So. It's breaking up the reception, but let you guys get going. Aloha. And,
Aloha.
A wonderful holiday season.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'll take a bad day in Hawaii then a good day in Jersey. Sorry, Maureen. Go ahead, honey.
That's okay. I heard Steve go out. The power did. But we have another call from Texas, I believe. Yes, Texas. Hello, Texas.
Hello.
Hi, this is Texas, and what's your name,
please?
I'm sorry. I didn't get your name.
Claudia.
Claudia, Claudia. Hi, Claudia.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
And Claudia, are you the one in the chat room, Claudia?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
Hi, Claudia.
Yeah,
it's Laura. Hi.
Yeah, I haven't been able to hang out in there. She mentioned that you had a typed up question, so I'm glad you called too. So Claudia, we're ready for you.
Yes. Well, I have my question on the chat room, but I can ask it again.
Yeah, I wasn't. I'm not able to be in there when I'm angry. Sorry, you guys. Hi to everybody in there, by the way.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be a little more selfish than Christopher. It's something about myself. You know, it's not
it's okay.
about global
we
warming.
We want you to do that. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
You can.
I've been trying to take this test since last year, but I keep failing it. No, I'm not failing it, but I'm using it for 2-3 points. And I don't, you know, and I'm sure it's not me, so I'm appealing the test, and I just wanted to see if anyone can comment, if they see me, you know, getting a good benefits from the peeling, meaning if I'm going to get my certification by January instead of retaking the test on April, because I don't want to take it again.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Who wants to take it? So you have just recently taken this test, you said, and you're wondering
Recently, I took it in October, and
right.
I took it in last April, and I took it last year in October. And they say I failed for 1 point, for 2 points the last time. But I keep thinking, I know the information so well, and I knew that I passed it. But I don't know, and that's the reason I'm appealing this test, because I want to know if it is a computer glitch or they're missing something or something's going on.
Right. So you're appealing it, and you want to know if the appeal will come through, or you're just asking for any information on that, Claudia, to see how to get past
question.
This.
I would like to know if the appeal will come through.
If you're feeling what you're feeling is correct, I understand what you're saying.
What she's talking about, Maureen, is when you take tests like that and you say if you don't pass, you appeal it. In other words, you ask them to look it over, and it may come back favorable, and she may pass without having to take it again.
Exactly, yeah.
Go over it.
And I'm glad that you're appealing it, because you've taken it 3 times, and there could be some weird. And if only they said 3 points or something, or a couple points only off. Yeah, Steve, did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get all that, Steve, too?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, I've spoken to Claudia before, and I've been thinking about you, Claudia. I'm absolutely certain that you'll find that when you contest this, the decision will be overturned. I feel good about the test that you took, and I almost feel as though there's been a mistake, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
So guides don't give me the feeling that in actual fact you'll get the response, yes, you were 1 or 2 points off, so we'll make an exception. I don't think there will be an exception. I think you'll find that there's been a miscalculation, because my guides say that you've worked really hard and you deserve to pass the test. And I think you'll find that the decision is overturned. And yes, I do feel it will be January, although later in January.
You know, I agree with that too as well. You need to be really good to yourself right now, Claudia. I'm sorry to hear this is going on, because I know you're in a way that you need to be good to yourself. Just be gentle and nice to yourself and respect yourself, because I hate to see this going on while you're waiting, because I do see there's fairness and justice with this. I get maybe the first week of February, something like that. It's pretty similar. What Steve was saying a little bit later, but I feel that you need to really be taking care of yourself, because I know this is overwhelming, and I just am worried that you are seeing this as a useless sacrifice, and you put this work in, because it wasn't. Everything on your end was fine. It'll be good.
I see, Claudia, I do want to tell you that I see that you're very stressed out. So what Maureen is saying is be good to yourself. Absolutely, you need that. You need to take care of yourself. Eat, drink spirulina. Do what you need to do to feed your body, because of the stress that you're going through over it. Relax, because it's done. You've appealed it. The only thing I would say, and I agree with Steve, it looks like there is a mistake there, or the appeal is a good thing. However, I feel that you may have to stay on top of it, like make calls. Don't do it every day or anything. See what they respond with, and you may have to follow up, but just know that you may have to follow up, respond, pursue it, and, make sure that they are, when they come back to you, if you think of something that they might have overlooked or they didn't, because, sometimes with these types of things, they'll overlook a detail. Just make sure you're watching that. That's all.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Claudia. Yeah, I know I spoke with you as well, I think, in the chat room even. Everything that everybody's sharing with you is actually really right on. And really, also, I want to add in my little 2 cents is that keep a paper trail, keep documentation, anything that you need to support yourself just in case, because that will build your confidence and that will allow you to show up really feeling secure that you know in your heart, no matter what, that what you're doing is correct, because it is. Just to help you with that, you know, I think that would be really important for you. You know, anything they might have said. I know you mentioned putting in some calls to some people. So, you know, kind of write these things down and document it. So you have your T's crossed and your I's dotted. You know, really be as prepared as you can. But I think you're going to come through it okay.
Thank you. Thank you. I will. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
You're welcome.
And you take care of yourself, because
yes.
You know what? It'll soon be passing. Passing, see, that's a good, no metaphor. That was a metaphoric word or a Freudian slip. It will be passing. But it'll all pass, and I really wish you well and bless your heart, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. All the love.
Thank you, Claudia.
Same to you.
Thanks for calling.
All
bye-bye.
The blessings. Thank you.
And we have another call, I believe, from Texas. Hi, Texas. Hello, Texas.
Hello.
Hi. And what's your name?
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Is this the Kathy I know?
Yes, the Kathy you know, Maureen.
I know you. I know Kathy. Hi, Kathy. And what? And how are you?
Good. I'm so-so.
Well, that's a good, honest answer. So, so Kathy, what do you, let's, I know Kathy real well, everybody, but the others don't. So, let's hear your question, and then we'll give our, you know, what we do good.
My question is, I've been looking for work again, and I've been looking at the veterinarian hospitals, and I was wondering if I keep on looking, if it will, I guess if I'll get one from there soon, or was wondering what you picked up on veterinarian hospitals getting
okay.
a job.
Great. You all heard that, co-host, yes?
Yes.
Great. All right, Kathy.
I get this is Steve. I get a really positive response for you. One thing that you do need to bear in mind, according to my guides, is you need to just to display your strength. Why is the month of August significant? What is it about the month of August for you?
Was it the last month of August or the beginning of next year?
It's the month of August generally that comes up as important for you. It's an important month, either in terms of anniversaries or birthdays in the family, but the month of August comes up really clearly.
I think the only thing I can think of is school maybe starting on August.
But do you have I have a gentleman in spirit who claims to be on your father's side of the family, and he talks of August. I feel as though it's either his birthday or his passing in August.
Okay, my dad's dad, which I share his birthday, but that's in January.
Oh no, this gentleman talks of August, and he gives the letter D. Do you know of your great grandfather's names?
There's a great-grandfather great-grandfather. Let's see, there's, Jake on one side, and I'm not really sure on my dad's side what his name is.
Okay, well, because I have this gentleman that wears a beautiful black suit, he's extremely well-dressed, and he's a religious man. He's got a lot of faith, but he talks of the month of August. I feel as though it's relevant because he either it was his birthday or he passed in August, and he's nodding as I say that. But also, the month of August will be important to you moving forward. It'll be a real month of celebration. But my guides say that you will, in terms of your work and the going down the this route with veterinary science, you will be successful. As long as you really make sure that your voice and your energy articulates the absolute commitment and strength that you have for this field, which you absolutely do have. You just need to make sure it comes across. But you will absolutely be successful. There's good news for you in March, but again, August comes up very clearly. I feel almost as though you'll make progress or have a good opportunity in March, but then the opportunity will really develop into something even bigger in the month of August. But do look for this gentleman whose name begins with D, because he's very clear and he's a very strong character. He stands very firmly and he says, stand absolutely behind your passion and make sure that everybody knows how confident you are about this commitment and how committed you are to this field, because you are incredible with animals. I mean, animals just are drawn to your energy. You don't even have to speak or move. They're just drawn to you, even birds.
Okay, so you're thinking that all... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm saying that's really great information. Absolutely. Steve's really... He's something else. He's special. It's good.
Yeah.
So you think that the job won't come until March? Or something will come up soon before March?
I feel if you take an opportunity before March, it'll almost be an experiential opportunity. But then there's a paid opportunity in March, and that really develops into a really sound proposition and long-term opportunity around August time. But it really will work out well for you. But just get out there and show as many contacts as you can how committed you are to this field, because you have a tendency to work very hard but not do the networking. So make sure you get out there and you let people see how passionate you are for your work.
You know, okay. One of the things I see is I see that you have a real good feel, like you can see yourself in the field. It feels natural to you, and the way you would work within it, okay, the way you fit into it. But I don't see you, I almost feel like you're trying to fit in the way others expect you to, and that may have to do with what Steve's talking about, where you're not coming across, you know, in a way where you feel strong or you have your own conviction. But I feel like you fit into it in your way. And I believe you have to follow that, because if you don't, that's what may be creating the block.
Okay,
just
be strong,
yourself.
Is that
know,
what you're saying?
Know your strengths. Pardon?
Are you saying to, I guess, be more strong about it, or?
Well, be very strong in your sense of knowing that you belong there and how your talents fit into that field. And it may be different from somebody else's talents in that field. You know, everybody has a different way of fitting into any field. The best example I can come up with is, as a lawyer, actually, I don't think like a lot of other lawyers. I think very differently, and it works for me. Okay, so what I'm saying for you is you have your own way of, and your own talents and your own gifts within this particular field. And so know that, don't doubt those gifts just because they're different from what you might normally see in the veterinarian field. Because there's some aspects of you that are just, they fit your personality, but you fit into this world. So be strong in who you are, and knowing that whatever those things that may be different from what you perceive to be the norm, you know, or what most people might be like in that field, be strong in how you know you fit in, because it brings something to the table. And know that it brings something to the table. Don't be afraid to bring that out. That's part of what I feel is a block for you.
Okay.
That's great information. Kathy, thank you for calling. We need to get to two more callers, but I think these two had some really good information for you, because I know I've read from you before, and it's pretty similar. So I really hope that you take note of that, because you do have a lot going for you. You do. So We need to move on to the. We have two more calls before we finish up. Kathy, thank you for calling in, and thank you for
thank
coming
you.
Too.
Hello?
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Steve. And we have our next call is from Colorado. Colorado, hi. How are you?
Hello?
Hi, Colorado. What's your name?
My name is Noah.
I'm sorry, what is it?
Noah.
Noah. Hi, Noah.
Hi.
And
how are you?
And Noah from Colorado, what would you like to go for it? Ask.
Well, I'd like to know about my job career. You know, I've been looking for work for about 10 months now, and I've had some inspiration and some, a lot of rejection. And so I'm just kind of wondering when I can expect to be employed again.
Okay, great. Did you guys get all that?
No, I didn't hear that.
He's talking about jobs, and he's looking for, he's had not been doing too well, but is this right? No, haven't been getting very much response. So you're wanting to know if there's something to look forward to above in the upcoming, right, you know, upcoming future. I'm sure you can.
All right.
Hi, Noah. I'm going to jump in here. Really quick, what I'm getting for you is you have a tendency to be a little confused and kind of disoriented in your thought process, which is kind of what's showing up for you in your experience. So one of the things that the angels are actually showing me is books, like a library. And that doesn't mean you have to physically go there, but they want you to do a little research and start to use this time to write down things that you love to do. I mean, don't forget about kind of the job, the label of the job, and the idea that, you know, I need to do this job because it's going to make me money or the security of it, because I feel like what's happening for you, the shift that is going on, is that you're being asked to look at what your life's purpose is and what it is you're here to do. Like, this part of your life that, you know, you have to work for the money or do things for the money, it's being closed. That door to your past, that old way of thinking, is being shut now. And the reason you've been kind of sitting in this energy of, you know, confusion is because their guides are showing me that you need to look at it at things now from that perspective of what is it I'm here for? And, you know, what is it that I'm going to be doing to make a difference in my life and the life of others? And that's going to start by you kind of sitting down and just looking at it, you know, from what is for things that you're interested in, things that you enjoy doing, without an expectation of how that's going to earn you a living. Like, first steps, really, just kind of start at that place. And from there, your inspiration, as you shared before, is going to really kick in. You know, these ideas are just going to be downloaded, and it's going to make so much more sense. But the place to start right now is to start with what you're passionate about and what you enjoy doing, because that's going to open up for you to a just, it's going to be much broader. I'm feeling this is going to shift really quickly. I don't know why they're showing me that, but this old energy is just, it's just got to be put in the past where it belongs, because there are things coming for you, but you need to, you know, kind of step in there and take that step.
Well, thanks, Jackie.
Thank
you, Noah. We have one more caller we need to move on to, and I hope that helped. And we'll be on every week on Thursdays, and I'm sorry I have to cut it short. We have one more caller to take, and I hope you got what you maybe were looking for. And so we will be here next Thursday, and we always do free readings at the end.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Noah. Thanks so much. And our last caller for tonight is from New Jersey. New Jersey, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi there, and what's your name?
Angel.
Hi, Angel.
Hi, how are you? I'm calling because I've been wanting to move from my home. I'm right now I'm renting an apartment, and it's been about a year or so that I've been wanting to move, and I feel like things keep pushing back. I had a very trying year this year. I had a lot of loss in my family, so obviously I put that in the back burner. But I feel like I want my next year to be a change year and a year of beginning and renewal. And the first thing I want to do is just go out there and look for a new place. And I'm hoping that I can actually move from this place. So that's my main question is next year going to be the year that I'm going to find my new home?
That's a very direct, thank you for being direct question for us. So, okay, so next year being very soon. Okay, anybody?
I'm sorry, what is the question? I was writing in chat here.
Oh, she's asking about is next year, she's talking about a new home.
And what is her question about it?
She wants to know if she'll be going, go on.
I'm
going to
find a new place. Am I going to leave this old apartment and find a new place?
Yeah.
I just feel like it's been about a year or so, or even more, that I've been saying I want to move, and I haven't. So I want this new year to be my year of renewal and change, and I want to know if that's actually going to happen.
Okay, from your apartment to a new home, that's what you're asking about. Okay.
Or even another apartment. I just need a larger place, basically.
Okay, thanks. I just want to be sure I understood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hang on. Just a moment.
So basically, let me just clarify because I'm reading the chat as well. I live with my boyfriend. I've been living with my boyfriend for 8 years. So we both are, looking for a new place. I'm surrounded by wonderful family, and I wouldn't have been able to handle this last year if it wasn't for amazing friends and family. So my
I'm sorry. Go right ahead. I was just going to say, I did get something come through here, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I apologize. I was just looking and tuning in. I do feel that, yes, you will be able to move. I do feel, however, you're going to have to first integrate all the changes that you've been through and really heal. And I feel like you're going to be there. You're already getting there. You still have some, leftover residue from the hardship, but I feel like yes, you can and most likely will make that move. It's looking very favorable to me. Once you make these changes, you are going to go through a change, and so to me, that represents that if you want that move, you will make it. You will be able to.
So next year, I will be in a new place.
I didn't ask about next year. I don't know about next year, but I'm seeing the change and that you will be making a move. I haven't looked at when.
Actually, what I'm getting is some of the first steps, like Allura was saying, kind of the change that's going on, is they're showing me kind of cleaning house. In other words, energetically, I feel like there's a lot of clutter in your home, and sometimes that stagnant energy follows us around and kind of keeps us stuck. So by creating this movement, and I feel like the movement is internally, and you can start within your home, kind of purging, doing, an early spring cleaning, so to speak. I've moved this year as well, and the same thing, from an apartment to a house. I did it by myself. And one of the things I found that really helped me was, number one, I frequently spoke with my guides about it and felt, that this was the time. But in the home, to move things around, because it's about letting go of the old and bringing in the new. So you've got to let go of the old stuff and really prepare yourself for this move. So that's something you can do now. I feel like after the holidays, the new year, make that part of kind of a resolution that you're going to do that. And that's going to actually expedite this whole moving process. You'll all of a sudden feel like, I'm going to start looking now, and now I'm going to decide what area I want to go to. So it's like a domino effect. But I think for you, the first step is to take a look in your home and start clearing out that stuff.
Yeah, I see that too. you know, the point you brought up is once you make it, it's all going to depend on the internal changes that you make as to when the move occurs. And so I just, yes, I want to add to that.
Well, Angel, thank you so much for calling, and I hope that, that you got some insight from the two wonderful women.
It helps. It's funny because I already started clearing things out already, so.
Well, that's keep going.
All right, Angel.
Angel, thanks for calling, and come back. We're here every Thursday.
I will.
8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for calling, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Night.
Good night. So that's so that brings us to a close of yet another amazing show, everybody. My co-host, woman and guy. I wish to thank my co-host and our executive producer, Doug, for being so supportive. And more importantly, this week, for being showing so much compassion for my issues. Thank you, Doug. So, Allura, what are we all looking forward to on your show next week? Go for it.
Good. Well, next week, we're very fortunate to have our very special guest, Gerald O'Donnell, back on our show. We'll be talking about remote viewing and remote influencing. Remote viewing is a method of accessing information through developing your connection to source or God or creator, whatever you call the higher intelligence or higher awareness. And through remote viewing, you can enhance your life by seeing into different future probabilities, choosing any one of them to make better choices in your life. And you can use this to improve relationships, make better decisions and with investments and business opportunities. I know a lot of people have had questions about jobs and career paths and things of that nature. So this is very useful for that. Prevent health issues. And also to learn to listen to your inner guidance to protect and assist you for your greatest and highest good. And of course, for all of humanity, if you wish to use it for that. Remote influencing enables you to enter a meditative state while remaining aware. By connecting to source in this way, you'll remain peaceful, yet present, energized, happy, harmonious, and passionate about your life. So manifestation, this is really important for manifestation purposes as well, to be in that peaceful, yet present state of mind. So you can experience unlimited possibilities. So the topics of remote viewing and remote influencing are going to be really amazing to discuss next week. We've had Gerald on our show before, and we're very fortunate to have him back again next week. If you would like to get a sense of Gerald before next week's show, please be sure to visit our archives section on psychicaccesstalkradio.com and listen to the recorded archive of our 2012 Perspective show on the date of June 24th, 2010. I'm definitely looking forward to that show, and I look forward to having you all with us.
That's so great. I can't wait for that show. And I bid everybody a good night and bless your hearts. And anybody else want to say good night?
Good night, and thank you. Thanks, Maureen, and Laura, Steve, and Doug behind the scenes, always doing a fantastic job. And it's just so much fun. What a great show. And that's it. And thank you. Thank you, thank you.
God bless everyone.
Thank you, guys. God bless. And hope I want Noah to call in again. I have information for him next week. So wonderful show, guys. Thank you. Take care.
Excellent.